I was pastoring in Florida. Loved the church I was pastoring in Florida. We're running about 450 people. I had a daycare that had about 150 students in it. My daycare profited $800,000 a year. So just on the daycare, I never had to worry about a salary. Company car, nice house, lived in a community. Everything was clicking. I lived about 15 miles from the beach in Fort Myers. The weather is 86 almost every single day. I got to surf. We got to film. I mean, just me and Jen, when we got there, like, finally we've arrived. The church was solid. It wasn't a lot of drama in it. And, man, when we got there, we were like, oh. So we pastored 3 years. People loved us, and we were getting comfortable, and we were putting a lot of money in the bank because they were paying me extremely well. I remember the morning the Lord woke me up and told me, it's time to resign and go plant a church in El Dorado. And I got to be honest with you. I was very comfortable, but I was also very bored. And I knew that there was something in me that God was wanting more. I'd worked so hard, I felt like all those years, to get to a place of comfort. And when I got to comfort, I realized comfort is empty. When you're living in a place of comfort, you need to know something. God didn't design you for that. Because the Bible says that God is pleased when you live by faith. If you're not having to have faith in any area of your life, God's not pleased with you. So we fight so hard to get comfortable. We fight so hard to get in a place of ease. I want you to know something. It won't satisfy. Because you weren't designed for that. You weren't created that way. So look at what you're going through, not as a trial or a test, but as a blessing. Because, see, God wants you to trust Him through everything. Because the Bible says that it's impossible to please God without faith. And if your paycheck is big enough to meet all your needs and you don't have anything to worry about financially, God, you know, what you got to do is decide, God, what else are you wanting from me? If your relationships are meeting all your needs socially, and you don't need God in it, you need to look at your relationships and figure out which ones are. Because, see, God has created us to be in a place that we have to stay desperate before Him. Not that He hates us, not that He's hard on us, but He knows that He's the only thing that's going to satisfy. So we were there, and God told him, so this way I did. I said, God told me that one morning. I said, God, I'll do it, but I knew it because I didn't think He'd be able to fulfill this in. I said, you're going to have to tell Jen. I'm not going to tell her, because she was working for a company at that time. She had worked in her, has a marketing degree, and she'd always wanted to work on a national level in corporate America. She had a really good job. They were flying her. She was flying to countries all over the world, working and things, and she was loving her job, and she was making a lot of money. I was making a lot of money. She was making a lot of money, and we had a lot of money, and like I said, life was very comfortable. And so I said, God, oh yeah, I'll give it up, because I didn't think Jennifer was spiritual enough to give hers up. And I said, so you just got to tell Jen, because I'm not, that's your job. And about 2 days later, Jennifer came to me and said, Cricket, I think that God's telling us to go back to Arkansas and plant a church. Well, it didn't say Arkansas, to plant a church. So we began to talk about it. And, you know, the first place we felt like God told us to plant a campus was there in Alabama, Mobile, Alabama. So we started doing all the groundwork and all the research. And we started doing that then. And then God redirected us and said, not yet. And that's when He sent us back here. So I said, Lord, what I need to do is be able to get enough money in the bank to last a year. To put money in the bank so I can, me and Jen can focus in on planting a church for a year. And then, you know, that'll get the church up and going. So we put $60,000 in the bank. We resigned our jobs. We came back here. And for a year, we couldn't start church. And what happened? Hey, Dad, I just told everybody that we didn't know it, but you would be coming. So praise God. You want to speak? Praise God. I hadn't got to see Dad in a while because I'm always here. So do stepping out that way. Like I got to say, God has been so faithful. So faithful, because look around now. 7 years later, look at what God has built. He hasn't built just another church. He's built a family. How many of you guys have moved into the place in your life that you know that you belong in this family? And you're so thankful that this is a part, because, see, victory may not do church business right. Because I'm on one of the staffs, you know, and victory may not do organizational right, and we may not do planning right. There's a lot of things we may not do right, but I want you to know, we weren't called to be a business. We weren't called to be a social club. We weren't called to be any of that. Got to be honest with you. Most of us don't even dress like preachers. You're probably sitting beside a victory preacher in this service right now, and you don't know it because they don't look like preachers. But when you walked into Jesus' camp, and he was sitting there with the 12 guys he was sitting with that God was going to plant the church on, none of them were wearing the priestly garbs. Aren't you glad God uses regular people? And we don't got to be religious. We don't got to be fake. Well, we may not do anything else right, but I can promise you this. Victory is a family. And that's what God has called this church to be, is a family church. Now, there's no perfect family. Every family's got crazy people in it. And there's probably people in your family you don't like very much. I say it, we're a perfect family then, because there's going to be those kind of things here. But the thing about a family is, you get to choose your friends, but you don't get to choose your family. And we're going to get into that this morning. I want you to go real quick to Job chapter 14 with me real quick. Going into this year, the Lord told me there's going to be a year of fulfillment. Dad was telling me just a couple days ago about a pastor saying that this was going to be a year of promise. God's going to keep his promise. I said, wow, that's cool. He gave me the word fulfillment. God, the word keep his promise. How awesome is that? But I want to read the area of fulfillment. This is where the Lord started with me here. And I want to read it all the way through. And we're going to go into some trails on this morning. It says, for there is hope for a tree. Everybody say, thank God there's hope. It's not always going to be this hard. It's not always going to be this tough. You're not always going to hurt this bad. I'm telling you, when God is in control, it never stays the same. It only gets better from here. The Bible says that your latter will be greater than your former. I don't care how bad things are right now. There's hope for you. Now, 56 different times in the Bible says that God associated you and me with trees. 56 different times. That's a lot of times in the Bible for him to associate you with something. I'd say if you call me an idiot more than 3 times, then I might start thinking at some point, you think I'm an idiot. You know what I'm saying? In other words, but God's called you in the Bible 56 different times an association with you being a tree. And so here, when you read this, it says, there is hope for a tree. The Lord told me this year there was hope for you and me. Whatever you've been through, wherever you've come, whatever's been going on, I want you to understand something. Last year may have been extremely tough. You may have faced challenges and went through things that you'd never even imagined you going through. You may be going through them now, but I'm here to tell you, God wants you to start this year off understanding that there is hope for you. In your specific situation, in your specific area, your area of pain, your area of hurt, there's hope. And it will not always be like this. As a matter of fact, a year of fulfillment says this, weeping may last for a night, but joy will come in the morning. There is hope. I don't, like I say, okay, you don't understand. She's broken my heart. I want you to know there's hope. He's either going to fix her or he's going to give you somebody better. There's hope. I say, you created my job, I don't make enough money. He's either going to bless you at that job or he's going to get you on another job that will be. There is hope for your situation. The Bible says here in Job, but you couldn't got any worse than Job. And I know some of your situations. This last year was a tough, hard, very bad year. Amen. The young thing, y'all, well, happy birthday. Today is Tamika's birthday. Happy birthday, Miss Tamika. But this family's walked through probably the toughest year I've ever seen a family walk through. I want you to know something. Next year's not like last year. There's hope for this tree. The Bible says there's hope for a tree if it is cut down. How many of you guys feel like the enemy has cut you down in some area this year? You've been cut, you've been chopped, you've been, ripped apart, shredded, put through the chipper, but I want you to know there's hope. Even if you've been cut down, even if last year was a year of loss, it's not always going to be that. Last year did not set the direction for the will of God in your life. It was not a tide that cannot be turned. Last year, you saw difficulties and you saw attacks and you saw what you even at some point thought were failures. I told you last week, I said, Alexis came home at the end of semester, never made a D in her life and made a D on a spelling test. She was so, so, so upset that she was going to have to do second grade again because she made a D. And I said, baby, that's just a test. And the test don't determine the grade. And if you have failed a test last year in a certain area, I want you to know something. You may have failed that test, but it does not mean that next year you're not going to go to the next level or God's going to bring you to the next grade. even if it's been cut down, it says that, that it will sprout again. It says this, and that the that its tender shoots will not cease. I know a lot of times when we go through hard situations and hard circumstances, the tenderness in our life is gone. It's like the enemy, it was putting you through such hard things and hard toils that what he's trying to do is make you hard, because with a hard heart, God can't move and guide and lead you in the same way. But the Bible says that a heart of stone, God can turn into a heart of flesh again. I love this scripture where it says that if the tree is cut off, if it's been so bad you have been obliterated last year, there's going to be new life. And it says this, the areas where you could be hard, and the areas you could be bitter, and the areas that you could be rough and tough and hateful and bitter and mean, the Bible says that you can be tender still in that area. That's hard for me to understand, because I got to be honest with you. When somebody hurts me, I usually build up, in construction, we call them calluses, or I build up a wall there, and I make that area hard in my life. I want you to know something. You don't have to be hard in those areas this year. God is going to allow you to stay tender, so that when others come into your future going through this thing, God can use you, and you not be a cantankerous Christian. You not be a hurt and bitter person. It says that there are tender shoots, and they will not stop. It says, though its roots may grow old in the earth, and its stump may die in the ground. I love this part. It says, yet at the scent of water. Now, we're going to get into this in a couple weeks. But see, we think at the taste of water, at the getting of water, at the time of water. This is what I said, at the scent of water. Y'all ever smelt rain before it gets there? It's like you're in the summer. You remember in the summer how it gets hot and it gets tired. And you walk outside and you can just smell it. You're like, man, I smell a renewing coming. Hallelujah. See, going into this year, I have been smelling in the Spirit. This is a year of renewing. There is a scent of water coming our way. And we're going to get into that in a couple weeks ago, but we want to read this and we're going. And it says, and bring forth branches like a plant. It says it will scent of water and it will bud and bring forth branches. Now that's what I believe is the spirit, the prophetic scripture for our lives here at the Adorata campus this year. And so we're, over the next couple of weeks, when I'm preaching, I'm going to be preaching this one, out of this one being our base guideline. I'm going to be on every message in and out of this. But during the month of January, when I get to speak, this is what I'll be coming out of. But today we're going to jump back up into the verse scripture. Last week we talked about there's hope. The enemy has convinced a lot of us that it's no hope. There is hope. There is hope. And if you can reach out and get a hold of it, your life will begin to change today. Today we're not going to talk about hope. Today I want to focus in on the tree. We talked about last week in Psalms 1, where it says this, blessed is the man, blessed is the man, blessed is the man. God don't want anything but blessings in your life. And what he has an idea of for your life is for you to be planted by the rivers of water. Joe, you got a picture of a tree planted by rivers of water? He's going to bring up a tree, because I want to get into just a couple things this morning. God's picture of your life, the Bible says, is that if we can do it his way, I want you to know something. You will not get God's will doing life your way. It will not happen. If you want to do life your way, then you're going to get what your will bring you. Even Jesus knew that. He stood in the garden. He said, Father God, not my will, but your will be done. Because Jesus knew that if I want God's will for my life, and I got to tell somebody in here, the only way you're going to truly be satisfied is for you to get your life into the will of the Lord. Can I make one of the most amazing announcements I have ever got to make in this church? Starting in February, Victory El Dorado Church is going to be kicking off its first Hispanic campus in the El Dorado thing. Brother George and Miss Neri are going to be our Hispanic pastors. And one Saturday a month, we're going to be having a Victory Hispanic service in here. I tell you, I am so excited about that area there, because God brought those two trees right there into this church about 3 years ago. And you know, for the last 3 years, I knew what God brought you in here for, and George knows I've been pushing him a little bit over it. But we were talking about 2 weeks ago, and last night they told me they're ready. They're ready to be the tree. that God put them in this church to be. I'm so excited. And Miss Neri, she's scared to death. But it's okay, because we're scared to death too. We don't know how to do it, but I can tell you this. I know you guys. I love you guys. And you know how to love people like family. Like I said, we may not be anything else good, but we are the family of God. And I know you guys will run it the same way. And we'll be announcing more as we're going forward, but want you guys to get on board and help us. But we're going to be starting a Victory Hispanic campus here on Saturday once a month. How awesome, right? But going on, that's the picture. We got into it really deep last year. It says that you'll be planted by the trees. You'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, who bears fruit in its season, whose leaves do not wither. And it says everything it does will prosper. How awesome would that be? That everything you do brought positive and not negative, or brought gain and not loss. I'm saying that's God's picture of life for you. But the thing about it, the secret of a lot of our life, we all want the end result, but we don't understand the process. Today we're going to talk about just a process, just real quick about it. See, what you've got to understand is when God introduced himself in Genesis, he started off being the God that speaks, and his word changes things. Because it says, in the beginning God said, again, he said, let there be light. And the minute God spoke, things changed. God still does that. But then as God's word worked and caused miracles and things happened, the next thing the Bible said, that God said, that God reached down and he took his hands and scooped up the dirt and he made you. That tells me this, that he, you know, when you meet a craftsman at a skill that's really good at that skill, they get their hands involved in it. It's not prefab anymore or anything like that. Guys that are really good at what they do, they get their hands involved in it. And the Bible says when he made you, when he made man, is the first time he got his hands involved in things. I want you to know something. The hand of God is still involved in your life today. He's still touching and moving. The Bible says that you're still clay on the potter's wheel, and he's the potter, and he's touching and moving. So, you know, he's still got his hands actively at work. But then the Bible says this, the next characteristic that God brought up in the Bible says God planted a tree. He brought up the characteristics of God being a gardener. Now, God never changes. All the way through the Bible, the character and the nature of God being a gardener exists and shows up. As a matter of fact, the first thing he did after he created was he began to plant. God has a heart of a gardener. As a matter of fact, in the New Testament, when Jesus first rose from the dead, the first time he was seen after the grave, the Bible says Mary, and they saw Jesus, and they looked, when he came back in his transfiguration, it says he looked like a gardener. They thought he was a gardener. I want you to know something. God is still planting gardens today. God is actively at work. He's a planter. And what he's doing, what he did at the beginning, he planted a garden. And in the New Testament, when Jesus came back, he came back and he appeared to be a gardener. I want you to know something. He's still planting today. He's still planting. And I want you to know something. You're not going to accomplish or reach the will of God for your life if you don't allow God to be who God is. And that is the nature of being a gardener in your life. God's heart is the heart of a gardener, because he knows that he designed you specifically and he put you in a place and a way for you to be the tree planted by the rivers of water. And so for you to let God be what God is, you're going to have to understand there's going to be a process in your life called planting. Now I'm going to read a couple of scriptures to you real quick. And I want you to see this, because in the Old Testament, he was a planter. In the New Testament, and the Bible says in Isaiah 61, it says this, "And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberties to the captive, and opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." I want you to know something. This is an acceptable year of the Lord. He is actively involved in doing everything this scripture is promising to do. But look what he says. He says, "To comfort all who mourn." If last year brought great mourning, this year he's going to begin to fulfill comfort into your life. It says, "Those console who those mourn in Zion, to give beauty for ashes." If you look at your life and it has been burnt to the ground and there's nothing left, I want you to know something. Beauty is on its way this year. It's a year of fulfillment in your area. But there is a process for fulfillment. And this is what it says. It says, "He will will give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Those fighting depression, those overcome and overbound this year, if he's made available to you a garment that can change everything. And if you will start dressing the part. Some of us come in here every Sunday with our face so long that you could feed us horse hay and nobody would ever think anything about it because we're just walking around like horses, dragging our face. We're so long-faced because of what we're going through and what we're dealing with. I want you to know something. That the Bible says this. He will give you the garment of praise for the Spirit. Now, he did not say he's going to grab you and shake you and make you feel good and you'll get all excited and touched by it and you'll start praying. No, he said he will give you the garment of praise. It's your choice whether you're going to put this thing on or not. I want you to know something. Fulfillment can only take place if you do your part. I got a coat all the time. And my little girls are real bad about this, especially this week. It was freezing cold. And I have spent a lot of money over the year buying my girls' coats. But we'll get ready to go to school, and we'll walk out of the house, and they'll be carrying their coats. And we'll walk outside, and they'll be like, "Daddy, it's so cold." I said, "Babies, put your coat on. Put it, don't do you any good if you don't put it on." Won't you? If this year has been heavy, you need to put your coat on. It's available to you. Put your coat on and make this year different. Then this is what it says. It says, they may be called the what? The trees of righteousness. The what? The planting of the Lord. That he may be glorified. Going into this year, we need to understand there is a process of fulfillment that must take place. God is a gardener. Says he is planting. Me and you, we are the planted of the Lord. That's what he's done. And the third reason why he wants us to be planted is because, see, being planted has benefits that being potted don't. And we'll get into those in just a second, but I want to read it. Check out this part. Verse 4 says, and they shall rebuild old ruins. God, those that allow God to take them through the planting process, it says, you will be anointed to be the one to rebuild old ruins. Are there ruins in your past? Do you have ruined dreams or ruined relationships, ruined homes, ruined finances? God will use you. But there's a process. Here it says this. And they shall rise up from the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities. I want you to know something. God's wanting to use this group of people, these people in this room, to repair this city that has the ruins in it. God puts you here on purpose. This is what it says. The desolations of many generations. God's wanting people that will allow him to plant them to reach the next generation. All right, let's go to this scripture. Bible says in Isaiah 60:21, it says, also your people shall be righteous, and they shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. If you will allow God to take you through the process of planting this year. See, a lot of us have been in church for a long time, but we have not allowed God to put us through the process of a planting. We're saying, well, God, why doesn't it work? You understand, the blessing, the Bible says in Psalms 1, blessed is the man, blessed is the man, blessed is man. He will be like a tree planted. The blessing is being planted. The curse is being potted, being a vagrant, being a vagabond, being a wanderer. The Bible says this. The Bible says that God planted Adam and Eve in the garden. And then when he put them there, when they messed up, what was the curse? They were put out of the place of planting. And they spent their days wandering, and there was a curse upon everything they did. The Bible says Cain, when Cain moved into the areas of sin, not wanting to do it God's way, says that a curse came upon him. And his part of his curse was he's a vagabond. He became a vagrant. He became a wanderer all of his days. The Bible says that God planted the children of Israel into the promised land. But the thing about it is, because the generation before them murmured, complained, wouldn't move into an area of faith, trust, when God would say an area, what happened? They spent 40 years wandering until that generation was passed. Till a generation came up that was willing to allow themselves to be planted. The Bible says this. The Bible says that there were the group of Jews in the Bible, the sons of Sheba. Y'all remember him? Them? That says they came up to the demon present. They said, in the name of Jesus, we cast you out. And out of the sons of Sheba, the Bible said that they were a group of vagabond Jews. Jews that had no place of planting, a place that was not their home. So they were living under a curse because they were wanderers. Although they were Jews, they were wanderers. And the Bible says when they told that demon to get out, that demon looked at him and says, "Jesus we know, and Paul we know." See, we think just the name of Jesus will do it for you. I want you to know something. There is more to what God has called you to do than you've been able to quote the name of Jesus and you've been able to quote scriptures. The Bible says that God is a gardener and He is planting you in your life so that when you are planted, you at that point, see the difference between a pot and a plant, we'll get into that. But see, a tree that is not planted means its roots aren't able to do what they're supposed to do. So they become what they call rootless. And if you're rootless, you're fruitless. I'm telling you, you can sit all day long in church. All day long. And if you haven't allowed God to take you through the process of planting, you will sit here and you will know the name of Jesus. You will know the way to say it. And you will be able to run around with those that can actually use the authority of God. But you will not have authority. He said, Peter, Paul, we know. Said, Jesus, we know. But who are you? Why did he not know them? They used the name of Jesus because they weren't planted. There is a process that God puts us through. The Bible says this. The Bible says that the process of the planting can only be done by the gardener. We don't get to choose where we go. God chooses where He puts you and how He. That's why you didn't get to choose your family. Wouldn't it have been cool if we would have got to choose our family? Wouldn't that have been awesome? You know what I'm saying? We could have picked a grandpa that had good hair, and I wouldn't have inherited the bad hair gene. I could have picked it, but we didn't get to pick that. Why? Because God is a gardener. He plants you places. And the reason why He plants you places is because He has expectations for you to be able to bear fruit and make change and cause things to happen in that area. But because we like to be in control, a lot of times what we do is we stay potted. Now, let me talk real quick about the difference between being potted and being planted. Is first of all, potted plants take constant maintenance. Joe, you got constant maintenance. If you got a tree that stays in a pot, but we're supposed to be put into the ground, what you got here is you got a tree that you can't ever leave unattended. How many of you guys have got house plants in your house? And you go on vacation for any length period of time, and you got to either pay somebody or call on a favor or ask them to go by and check on that plant. Why? Because if you don't, that plant's going to die. Let me step on toes, because it's the first of the year, and I can blame it on prophecy if you don't like it. If you've been in this church for any length of time, and you're still living, doing, dealing with the exact same things that you've been living, doing, and dealing with when you came in, I want you to know something. You're potted. You're not planted. Because, see, potted plants have to take constant maintenance to just keep alive. If somebody got to call you and ask you to come to church every week, you're not planted. And what happens to trees that aren't planted is they don't have the ability to stand on their own. So they're always having to have somebody rescue them, somebody bail them out. I mean, there have been so many times in my life that I wasn't planted in areas I had to count on my dad and my mom to change things and help things. And so, you know, would I ever get to the place where I can stand on my own? I want you to know something. He who that began a good work in you will complete the work in you. But there is a work that has to take place. It's not an instantaneous thing. Another thing between a potted plant is this. A potted plant can't withstand seasons on its own. You know, my mom's a big plant person and she's got all these plants, and every time it's going to get cold, I feel sorry for my dad because I know what he's doing the day before. He's having to go out and get all these big pots and all these big plants and bring them into the house. Why? Because a potted plant can't withstand different seasons that different trees go through. It's either too cold or it's too hot and you have to move them around. If you're here and you can't go through the things that you're going through, the Bible says He will never allow you to go through anything you can't handle. And if you can't handle what you're going through, you need to be planted. You need us to get you. You need to allow God to put you through this process. Because God wouldn't let you go through it if you did not have the ability to handle it. It doesn't mean that you, but if you're not planted, you're not going to. The planting of the Lord is the power that releases grace into your life to be able to go through things. And what it does is there are purposes for every season. I want you to understand something. You're missing out on the greatest purposes of your life because you will not allow God to take you through the planting. And when seasons that could bring great change, you know, they say the harder the winter, the greater the fruit comes out the next year. But trees that can't withstand the winter never experience the fruit that God... You're missing out on the greatest things that God has for you because you're still in a pot. God's ready. Wait, now, what happens if... what would you call a kid if you don't... If your kid doesn't have a great work ethic? Spoiled? Lazy? Right, now, I'm going to talk about kids for a minute because I want you to think I'm talking about kids for a minute, but I'm really not going to be talking about kids. When you got kids in your house and they don't carry their weight, you've got spoiled kids. If we have to clean my girls' rooms all the time, my little Haley, go get her, but she's gotten into this thing now. Dad, I need a juice box. I say, they're in the pantry. Mom, I need a juice box. They're in the pantry. She'll sit there and won't get up and move. 10 minutes later, say, Dad, I need a juice box. And that was, she will say, 9 times out of 10, she'll win because she won't quit. When she could just eventually get up and walk over here, the kid is spoiled rotten about her juice boxes. And we're realizing this now, we're fixing to change this. So what I'm going to do now is every time she says she wants a juice box, I'm going to bring her a bottle of water and see how long she likes that. See if she don't get up and go get her. Because I've realized this, kids that don't do what they know and have the ability to do, they're spoiled. And you want me to tell you what happens to kids that are spoiled? Eventually they grow up and they become entitled. And when kids that have entitlement, a spirit of entitlement, what happens is they think everything is about them. They think everything should be done for them. And it stunts the growth and fruit that God can do in their life. Because when a tree is planted, it has the ability to grow fruit. And you need to, as a tree, have you ever seen an apple tree eating an apple? No. You ever seen an orange tree eating an orange? No, because fruit is not bore for you. Fruit, trees that bear fruit that think it's for them, they're spoiled. But when you go through the process of planting and you realize that God is wanting to use me to bear fruit, to help others, you understand the value of the planting process. But the Bible says this, in Isaiah 60 verse 21 it says, also people shall be the righteousness, they shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting. Psalms 92 says this, it says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Now, he goes into details in this part, getting more into details about what kind of trees he plants. Because we always wonder, is it an oak tree? Is it a pine tree? Is it a, you know, hickory tree? Is it, you know what? Here he goes into detail and he starts bringing out characteristics of trees. He said, the righteous are like a palm tree. He says he flourishes. When you get into the word palm tree, it begins to bring out certain characteristics about trees that other trees don't have. I told you last week that you can take any kind of tree and put a chain around it or run a nail a fence to it or put a cable around it. And any kind of tree, as time goes on, will grow and will consume that cable. How many of you guys have been on an old farm place or been out in the woods and you've seen a tree growing over a piece of barbed wire or a tree, you know, it just begins to consume and it becomes part of it. See, there's a lot of us that don't understand that God did not make it. When we read that, he's like a tree planted by the rivers of water, we think oak tree. And so it's okay for an oak tree to have bondages in his life because I'm a tree and God will bless me anyway. I want you to know something. He says, no, you're a palm tree. Because a palm tree is not like an ordinary tree. A palm tree is a tree that does not grow outward. It grows in bands. And so you can take a cable strap and put around a palm tree. And it will stay around. It may squeeze and it may choke and it may stay there for a season. But as that tree grows and stays planted, it will grain within itself to break any band you put on it. You cannot keep a palm tree bound by anything. A palm tree cannot stay bound by anger. A palm tree cannot be stay bound by addiction. A palm tree cannot be stay bound by... I know Alcoholics Anonymous says, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. I want you to know something. If you allow God to plant you like a palm tree, what will take place is it's a matter of time before the addictions that the enemy has tried to use to bind you will be broken. You cannot bind a palm tree. Isn't that amazing? Also, a palm tree has the ability to live where no other tree can live. You can take a palm tree and put it on the brink of a desert, in the oasis where nothing else can live. And because the palm tree has the ability to plant in a way that no other tree can plant, the palm tree has the ability to have what they call a core root. And when you see a palm tree, however high the palm tree is up, it has a core root that goes the exact same distance down. So when you walk up to one of those emperor palms and you see it being 20, 30 foot tall, what's amazing, what gave that tree the ability to go up that tall is because it had the ability to take a root to go down that low. And it didn't give up maybe 10 foot or 20 foot down when it didn't find the source of life that it needed. It kept driving itself down until it got to a place. The Bible says that we're planted by the rivers of living water. You need to understand something. A lot of the rivers of living water God puts you on aren't on the surface. We want to be surface roots. We want God to just plant us on the surface a lot of times, and we'll be there for a few minutes, and when we don't get what we want out of it, well, we're going to uproot ourselves and transplant ourselves to another place. So let me tell you what happens to trees that are surface root trees. In Hawaii, there's a tree called a banyan tree. And the banyan tree, because of the soil and the conditions there in Hawaii, their roots don't go down deep. Their roots grow on the surface level. And they're beautiful trees. They stand up there all pretty, and their roots, you know, it's really neat. But problem with it is because their roots are surface roots, their roots are not tough and strong. And so there's a big national park in Hawaii that they were growing these banyan trees up, and people and tourists would come to see all these beautiful trees, and big crowds would come just amazed at these things. And they were walking around on the ground all under these trees. And before long, all these trees just started falling over because they didn't have anything but surface roots. And surface fruits were getting walked on by people over and over again. And as those surface fruits were getting walked on, it was taking the life out of those trees, taking the strength out of those trees. And it was just a matter of time for them trees fall. I want you to know something. He didn't say you're a banyan tree. And if you've got surface roots to where every time you come to church, your feelings are hurt. Every time, you know, somebody says something you don't like, you allow it to affect you in a way you draw back, or, you know, you won't get close to people because you've been hurt so many times. I want you to know something. You will never produce what God is planning you to produce, because He did not plant you to be a banyan tree. It says the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. That means there are going to be times that you're going to be all alone. You're going to feel like no one else knows. No, you know, when a root is growing, you don't see that. Matter of fact, there's a piece of bamboo that grows 2 years under the ground. 2 years under the ground. It's the Japanese palm. And overnight, that thing will shoot up 30 foot tall. How can it do that? They say you can watch it grow before your eyes. How can it? Because for 2 years, you don't see a thing. Its roots is going through the process of the planting, and its roots are developing what it needs to get, what it's going to need to be, what it's going to be. And then overnight, they say you can watch the palm grow. See, there's a lot of you been saying, God, when are you going to bless me like that? As soon as you let Him get your roots established, God will begin to bless you. And people will stand at amazement. They will pull back and be like, how did that happen? What you know is success never happens overnight. Success only happens when you allow God to do the work in your life. And God's a gardener. He plants. Let's go here real quick. And the next thing a planting tree does is what it does. It allows stability to come into life. Trees that are not planted, they're potted, can be blown over by storms very easily. But when a tree allows itself to be planted, what happens is a stability comes that it don't matter how big your pot is, you have more stability than any pot you can imagine. The Bible says like this, you have to be rooted and grounded. You say, well, Cricket, my pot's big enough. I can be rooted. Well, it says grounded too. You just get, the pot's got to go. The option to leave must be taken off the table. You need to understand that if God has got you in this marriage, you're in the marriage. You're not potted in this marriage. God wants you to see it from the beginning to the end. He's not wanting you to be removed from it. You say, well, Cricket, you don't understand. I don't understand. I don't understand it all. But I do understand. I do know this. God has a way. And I know this, that if you will allow God to have the process of you being rooted and you being grounded. He says in Ephesians that you are rooted and grounded in love. That means He's not going to let you go through it by yourself. He'll be involved because He is love. He'll be involved in the whole process, but there is a process of rooting and grounding. It brings stability. Do you know a tree can only produce the size of fruit that its root system can withstand? Meaning that my girls just bought a lemon tree the other day. It's a little bitty thing. And it's got lemons about this size all over it. And I thought when they got it, it would grow. They would grow. But they're already turning yellow this big around. So I got to, we're in the middle of this process, but I started thinking, why are them fruits ripening? Aren't they supposed to get bigger? They can't get bigger because the roots can't suck up enough nutrients to cause them to grow. And so they're going to go through this season with fruit that's not even really edible. Some of us have been in this church for a long time, and we've not produced any fruit that's been edible. Because you don't matter how long you've been here. I can set a tree in a pot in my yard for 10 years. And it still not be able to produce fruit because its roots have not been able to do what God intended its roots to do. This year, for God to fulfill your prophecies, your dreams, His words, His promises, there are some of us going to have to make the conscious decision that we're going to allow God to take us through the process of planting us here. You say, well, Cricket, maybe I'm planted across the church, the street across the street. Then you need to go there. Because you will never produce what you're supposed to produce. If God did not plant you here, you need to go. Because it's only a matter of time that God's going to have you. You're going to go anyway. Because if you're not planted here. Now, check this out. The Bible says this. The Bible says that the palm tree is planted. You know, we're like the palm tree. And the palm trees can withstand, are planted in the desert, and they can still get life out of it. What happens a lot of times is people will come into a church, claim they're planted until a famine hits. And when things get dry and hard and other trees start dropping off and leaving, they think, well, I'm going to drop off and leave too. Want you to know something? If you can drop off and leave, you weren't planted. Well, I can say this. If you were planted here and you do drop off and leave, I don't care where you go. You're not going to bear the fruit that God's called you to bear. You know and I know. Or no, you know because I know about me where God has planted me. And if you know that God has planted you here, you can't bear and produce what God has called you to bear or produce unless you're here. Now, you can go elsewhere you want to. You can be a vagabond. You can try to play Jesus games and all that. You will not have the power. You will not have the authority. You will not get the blessing. And you will not produce the fruit. But it's your year. You can do what you want to this year. It's going to be a year of fulfillment. God's going to fulfill His word. Now, you can take a tree that's planted, even in the time of famine. The Bible says God called Abraham to go to the land of Canaan. And he went there. But the Bible said this. The Bible says when a famine came, he got up and he went to Egypt. Because things got hard, things got rough, things got dry, things got tough. And when he went to Egypt, the Bible says that's when he got into the trouble. You know, he told the king to lie and the sister and all that kind of stuff. And finally, the Lord saved him. Aren't you glad for God's grace for saving us when we blow it? And so the Lord saved him. And when the Lord saved him, told the king, get out of here and take your wife because I don't want to. And the Bible says that, but they wanted him out of there so bad that he gave him a gift. And the gift he gave him was a maidservant named Hagar. And just a few chapters later, it was the very gift that he got because he wasn't planted for very long. He went where he shouldn't have been and did things he shouldn't have been doing. That he got a battle that today we're still fighting wars around this world for. He was given a maidservant that bore seed, that bore fruit that he was never supposed to have. Now his son, the Bible says Isaac, when it said famine came, he stayed planted. He did not leave Canaan. Said he, as a matter of fact, he didn't just leave. It says he even sowed. He even got more planted. He planted more into the famine where God had put him. And the Bible says he reaped a hundredfold return out of his famine. My thing is this. If you're not getting what God has for you out of here, then you need to plant. Well, you say, Cricket, what is planting? We got to hurry. We got 4 minutes, so we're going to do this. The Bible says that what he did is there's a rooting process. Because he said what we have to do is we have to be rooted and grounded. It says in Ephesians that we're rooted and grounded. So I'm like, God, what is that process of planting? Well, there are probably, and we'll get into it over the next couple of weeks. You know, there are certain laws and rules when you're planting trees. That tree to have the best chance it can possibly have. There are things you do. You know, when you dig the hole, you just don't leave bad soil in there. You know, you got to put certain soil in there. And, you know, there's rules. You got to do it at certain times. And there's things that you got to water it certain ways. We'll get into all that in the next couple of weeks when I have a chance to pray. But I want to get into this part first. The planting process does not happen overnight. It takes time. When you take a tree and you take it out of a pot and you put it into a hole, the next day, its roots don't begin to establish. As a matter of fact, it takes about 3 months in this part of the country. Michigan, it takes a year. There's a time period that it takes for the new roots to begin to dig into areas that they've never been before. You say, well, Creed, I've been coming here 6 months. And things are still the same. I want you to know something. You stay planted. Because it's only a matter of time. You cannot sub. The Bible says there's laws that cannot be changed. And one of them is sowing and reaping. That is a law of planting. And see, when you're allowed to stay planted long enough, the Bible says that God planted the children of promise into the promised land. When they got there, they all thought it was going to be easy. I want to give you these three things real quick. The first step in planting is found in Joshua chapter 5. And it said this, the first thing that I'll read it to you quick. Joshua chapter 5 verse 6, for the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people who were men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers that he would not give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Then Joshua circumcised their sons, whom he raised up in their place, for they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised this way. Verse 8 says, and so it was, when they had finished circumcising all the people, that they stayed in the places in the camp till they were healed. And when the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will roll away the reproach of Egypt from you. Therefore, the name of this place is called Gilgal to this day. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, all right, he planted them there. The first step in the process was this. When they came across the river, the Bible says that Joshua took the group of people and they had to get rid of the flesh. Before they ever got to benefit from the fruit and the prosperity of the land, they had to take time and allow the flesh to be cut away. And then it said, and they stayed there until they were healed. Say, Cricket, I'm not bearing fruit. Are you allowing God to get rid of the flesh? Because it says there's a time here that before you get to move on in the process of planting, that God has to cut certain things away. There's fleshly things that all of us have, and we, you know, as a matter of fact, in a planter's mind, and like tomato plants, water plants, they're actually called sucker shoots. And they suck all the life that the fruit is supposed to be getting. And you'll never get the harvest or never get the fruit that God intended until you allow Him to start cutting certain things away. What happens is we resist a lot of times these fruits. We don't want the flesh to be cut. We want to be able to watch what we want to watch. We want to talk the way we want to talk. We want to hang with who we want to hang. We want to look at what we want to look at. We want to drink what we want to drink. We want to smoke what we want to smoke. We want to take what we want to take. We want to, you know, gossip the way we want to gossip. We want to all. And so we say, well, God, here I am. And when the devil comes out of us, we say, get out of here, devil, in Jesus' name. And the devil just back and says, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But you're not planted. Look at all this flesh on you. There's no way. no way that you can be with them because there's so much flesh. That's what the Bible said. The Bible says the first thing Joshua had to do was allow the process of the cutting of the flesh. He said, well, God, when are you going to do it? He'll do it this year. If you'll do it this year. If you'll decide to lay it down now, God will start doing it right now. You're not waiting on God. God is waiting on you. He said, well, Cricket, it hurts. I understand, because there is a season of healing. But I want you to know something. He's still a healer. And whatever you allow him to cut away, you will not be marred for life. He will cause that area of your life to begin to blossom in ways you never thought so. Number two. Bible says this. After they were healed, Bible says the angel of the Lord came to them and said, all right, first thing you're going to come up against in this area of your promised land, in the planting where you're supposed to be, is there's going to be great battles you're going to have to go into. You need to know this. This year there's going to be some battles you're going to go through. The way you get through battles is the same way the children of Israel, when God took them through the planting process, took them out of the way they were living and where they were living as vagabond into a place that they would call home forever. Says that they were going to have to go to battles, but they were going to have to go through the battles his way. Jericho, you know the story, we won't go into great details, but it was a great fortified city. And there would have been a lot of ways to attack that city, but God gave them a specific way to attack that city. It didn't make no sense. You read, tell them to march around that wall 7 times for 7 days and then do all that. You think that's crazy. I want you to know something. Because it's not about the marching of the wall. It's always about the obedience. Some of us can't get planted because we won't allow the process of obedience to happen in our lives. The Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. That's amazing to me because I love to sacrifice because then I feel good and look good about myself. And obedience a lot of times doesn't bring, I don't feel like the reward. But unless you're allowing God to take you through the planting process and you get obedient, in the area that God's been speaking to you, the Holy Spirit's been nudging you, what God's been telling you, where to step up, where to step back, what to, until you say, God, I want your will, and I'm not going to get it my way. I'm only going to get your will by doing it your way. And you submit to the will of God. And you say, God, I don't care if it makes sense. I don't care what. I'm going to do it your way. Your walls will not fall. You understand those walls had to fall before they ever got to the place where they were going to dig their roots in. There's a process. There must be obedience. You say, well, Cricket, how do I get about it? I don't feel like the Lord's telling me. Then you need to get yourself under spiritual authority. This is the first year, and we'll blame it on prophecy. Everyone needs a spiritual leader. Everyone. That's why God put it that way. In the home, the Bible says the man is the spiritual leader. You say, well, Cricket, my man's not being a spiritual leader. Pray for him. Honor him. And give God a chance to work because there's hope for a tree. And so you give God hope to change him. All right, and then after the home, the Bible says that the church, your pastors, your leaders, your elders are spiritual leaders. You may not like everything some people say from the pulpit. I want you to know something. If they're your spiritual leader and you want to be blessed, then what you, and you've been planted into this house, then you need to line up and you need to allow yourself to be obedient. And I can tell you this. David knew this. He said whether the leadership was right or the leadership was wrong, God would bless me if I just obeyed. It didn't matter if God would judge them. I don't want God just me. The Bible says this, obey them that have rule over you, submit yourselves for they watch for your soul, that they may give an account on the day of judgment. It ain't about what they being right or wrong, it's about you being obedient. I'm sure when they were marching around that wall, they were thinking, this is crazy. Crazy. They couldn't say anything because the next thing the Bible says you got to deal with, you're going to have to deal with your greatest fears. God always brings you to a place. When they were marching around that wall, those big walls, those people looking over the wall, they were scared to death. In obedience, you understand that he didn't do it one day. He had to do it for a week. Had to do it for a week. Obedience is not a one-time deal. Obedience, you know, they say you're not loyal until you have a chance to be disloyal. You're not obedient until you want to be disobedient. If you want to eat chocolate cake and I say eat chocolate cake, I'm talking about my kids, not y'all. And I say eat chocolate cake, then they eat chocolate cake, they're not obedient. They got what they wanted. It's when they want to eat chocolate cake and I say, no, babies, you're going to eat your pork chop first, and then they don't want that pork chop, but they do it. Then they're obedient. Obedience, and then secondly, dealing with fear. Why did God make them walk around so many times? They had to walk around until they were so convinced it didn't matter how big the walls or the enemy was, they knew God was in control. Some of us have been stuck behind the wall of fear because we're so afraid. Fear is a prophetic voice. It speaks to your destiny. And as long as you're stuck behind fear, the Bible did not give you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. As long as you act, walk, talk, and live behind fear, you're never going to get the process plan. Then lastly is this. You're going to have to learn, and I'm going to have to learn to control my mouth. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says that the children of Israel had to march around that wall 7 times, and they were not allowed to talk. For 7 days, couldn't say anything. And you know they were thinking a lot. You know, someone wanted to say, the guy in front of me walks funny. You know, they wanted to say, the guy behind me is not keeping up. You know, they wanted to say, Joshua's doing this again, and I don't think he really heard from that angel. You know they all had an opinion, because everybody does. The thing about it is, God gave you an opinion, but he also gave you a mouth. The Bible says you have the power of life and death in your tongue. And when you allow yourself to speak things that is a curse to your destiny or someone else's God-given destiny. The Bible said this. Peter, who God loved, said, Jesus said, I'm going to go to the cross and die. And Peter said, no, you're not. Get behind me, Satan. Because he knew what Peter was letting come out of his mouth had the power of life or death. This year, some of us are going to have to get control of our mouths, because God can't drop the wall and plant the roots in until we control our mouth. And until God says shout, you don't shout. And until God says speak, you don't speak. They weren't allowed to talk. But then this is what the Bible says. This is what the Bible says. When they were obedient, they were not afraid. When they did not open their mouth, God was able to cause a miracle to happen. And they took a land that they were otherwise impossible to take, because God had planted them there. And when God plants you somewhere, can't nothing stop you. This is what I'm going to pray over you real quick. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to close with this video, because I don't want you to walk out of here thinking, look what all I got to do. I want you to walk out of here knowing that there's nothing God can't use you to do, okay? I want to pray over you that over the next several months, like I said, it takes about 3 months for a tree in this part of the country to get what they consider planted. And the truth is, some of you have never stuck to the will of God at a constant basis of more than probably a month or even 6 weeks, or you've never made it 3. There's areas of my life I've never made it 3 months. I want to put a challenge before you going into this year. Take the first 3 months and let God plan you. Don't miss church. Don't miss your word. Don't miss your prayer life. Take the 3 months and do it God's way. If you've not been a tither for the next 3 months, you tithe. Do it God's way. Not your way. Get God's way, your way. And you watch over the next 3 months, God's going to begin to establish in you in a place where you will bear fruit in your season. Your leaves will not wither. And everything you begin to do will bring prosperity to you and those you love. Do you receive it? Father God, if you're here this morning, you say, God, I'm asking you to plant me. You raise your hand up. God, I ask you right now to bring the power of your gardening spirit into this church, that begin to deal with us in a way that implants us in a place that allows your will to be done your way. And I thank you, God, when we submit to your hand, there's nothing we can't do.